Kelman on CliffCentral.com.
Right then, let's say hello to dietitian rockstar extraordinaire Natalie Matt. She is our lady when it comes to what we should and shouldn't be eating, how to figure out if we can maybe cheat on a Sunday, and what we have to do Monday to Saturday in order to be able to cheat on the Sunday. We've done a great series of conversations around protein, around fats, and of course the main nutrients in foods are proteins, carbohydrates, and fats. So we have to address the elephant in the room, these damn carbohydrates, which everybody is painting out to be really evil things at the moment. What's going on in the world of carbs?
I think carbs go in and out of favor quite often. And in the 90s, it was the Atkins diet. And now we're looking at things like banting and paleo. And there are all kinds of rules around why you can and can't eat them. But I think part of the reason why people like to make them sound so devil is because, number one, it's really easy to cut out carbs. Mm. It's a very easy diet rule, and it actually works for a lot of people.
Is it easy, though? Don't you crave them?
Well, that's number two. It's not. Like, it doesn't actually work for everyone. And I think the message of moderation is a little bit boring. Everyone's heard it. But when you go, you know what, I've got the secret, and the secret is to cut out carbs, people get excited. The thing is, it's not sustainable for some people. Some people it is, and other people it isn't. And it's very much about understanding your own recipe for health and well-being. And I do find a lot of people are able to bent or do the Dukan diet or the Atkins diet for some period of time, but then they do start to get whether it's toast envy or they miss eating fruit or whatever it is, they want to start eating a more balanced diet again. And so even though it's not the sexiest thing, moderation really is key, and carbs are not the devil, but they're not all the same. And I think what's happened is that people have just really grouped all carbohydrates together, and that's a bit like saying that all people are the same, when in actual fact there are differences between the different kinds of carbohydrates.
So what is a carbohydrate?
Okay, so chemically a carbohydrate is made up of carbons, hydrogen and oxygen. And it actually, if you look at its chemical structure, most of the carbohydrates are little six-ring molecules, and they join together to form long chains that are your complex carbohydrates. And in nature, the sweeter compounds are normally mono or disaccharides. That's where there's only one or two of these little rings. They normally occur in those in disaccharides, so two of those little rings. And they get broken down in our body to provide a lot of energy, and the energy via a system called the citric acid cycle, I think it is. Biology, biochemistry 101.
No, listen, dude, don't worry. I'm not going to be able to check you. So you could say whatever you want right now and I'd go with it. Yeah.
Someone can correct me if I got it wrong. But basically, they're a really good source of energy, but they're not the source of energy that our body actually stores. Our body stores fat. But whether you're eating too much protein, too much carbohydrate, or too much fat, all of it gets converted into fat, which we store in our body. One of the reasons that carbohydrates get a lot of bad press is because when we eat a large amount of carbohydrates, we get a big spike in blood sugar. And whenever we have a big spike in blood sugar, we also get a big spike of a hormone called insulin. Have you heard of insulin?
Yeah.
Do you know what it does?
Something to do with diabetes.
Excellent. Yay. Very, very good. So it is it's basically like a key that opens up your cells so that sugar can move from your blood where it's circulating into your cells where it can be used for thinking or running or cooking or whatever we're doing. And every single time we have a spike in insulin, insulin doesn't just go, right, cells absorb sugar. What it also does is it says, stop burning fat. Store everything. So it's an anabolic hormone. And if we have too many of these spikes of insulin, we end up storing everything. So we tend to gain weight. And the easiest way to deal with this is not to say, you know, eat small portions of carbohydrates, because we know a lot of people struggle with that. Some people have just said, cut them all out. And so that's why people lose weight, is because they don't have that action of insulin. But
that's not healthy.
Well, always the simple answer seems to be the one that people go for, but it isn't always the full and balanced picture.
How easy is it to cut out carbs, though? Because, I mean, I don't know. I don't really know much about banting and all of these different things. But to me, carbohydrates are like in everything.
They are. They are actually distributed throughout the food supply. So there are carbohydrates inside dairy. The naturally occurring carbohydrate there is called lactose. There are carbohydrates inside fruits and vegetables. There are carbohydrates inside all starchy foods like your bread, rice, potatoes. But you're not – the only place where you won't really find carbohydrates are in things like meat and fish and and chicken.
So that's why those diets are about eating a lot of meat.
A lot of animal products, yes.
And a lot of fat.
The reason they say eat fat is because carbohydrates help. They're part of why we feel satisfied with a meal. Protein is very satisfying and fat is also very satisfying. Now, if I take out a whole group of macronutrients, your carbohydrates, then I need to make up the bulk with the other two. And that's why you see people going up in fat. The truth is, in order to have a high fat diet, you don't need to eat like bricks of butter and lashings of oil. You actually need a very small amount because oil is very concentrated in energy. So it looks like a lot of fat, but we actually don't need that much fat.
So when we speak about good carbs and bad carbs in the supermarkets, like how do we decipher here?
It's a complex question. Generally,
like chocolate obviously can't be good carbs.
No, chocolate is not great carbs, but if there again, if you choose the right kind of chocolate and you're eating a small portion, it's really not a problem. By and large, you want to choose something that is an unrefined option. So the less people have messed with it up to a point, the better you are going to be doing. Let me give a concrete example.
Cool.
So you don't want to choose white bread over choosing a rye or a seed or a whole wheat bread. So the more unrefined it looks, as in it's a bit more brown, closer to its natural state, that's likely to have more fiber in it. Fruits and vegetables there, if it is close to how it was on the tree or on the plant, you are less likely to get a spike in blood sugar. So the difference there is, say, a piece of fresh fruit versus the same fruit that has been dried, or versus the same fruit that's been turned into a smoothie and possibly mixed with other ingredients. So if you can choose it close to its natural form as it came from nature, you're going to be doing well. You don't, though, need to go and say, well, I can't have chopped and peeled vegetables because they've got added carbohydrates. They don't. So it does require a little bit of thinking. If you're looking at breakfast cereals or snacks and things like that, you can actually turn the label around, have a look at the nutrition label, and you're looking for something that has more than 6 grams of fiber per 100 grams of food. But a lot of people will not actually pick up those labels.
No ways. I would never even think to pick up the labels.
You're not really in the kind of market that we would expect. You're not the stereotype of who we'd expect to see reading labels.
No. Listen, the only thing I understand on a label is like the protein and the percentage of RDA, recommended daily allowance.
Yes.
But even then, it depends on how many milligrams they go for. And like, no one's really going to start measuring their food and going wild.
No, it's that's why a pattern is really important.
Yeah.
And when we talk to people about food, that we don't actually go, oh, saturated fat and this and that. But we talk about food because people eat food.
They don't eat substances within the food.
Absolutely. So if at the end of the day, half of your diet is fresh vegetables and some fruit, and then a quarter of your diet is starchy food and a quarter of your diet is protein-rich foods, and I can break those down if you want, but then you'll have a balanced plate, as it were. And then it isn't about, you know, oh, my portions, and basically creating shame around food. Because when we say something is the devil, I see it a lot in like teenage girls where they feel shame because they want to eat carbohydrates, but they're being told that carbs are the devil, and it creates this really like the inner turmoil within them because they're craving something because they're growing and they need energy, but they've been told that this is bad and they feel bad for wanting to eat it, and that's just not appropriate.
Is there truth, though, to times of the day that you shouldn't eat carbs?
There is a theory that we have a natural circadian rhythm and we are better able to tolerate, say, starchy foods earlier in the day. And as the day progresses, we become a little bit more insulin resistant, or we don't tolerate carbohydrates as well. This is true for some people, not for everyone. Everybody has their own natural rhythm. I find people tend to eat tolerate carbs well during the day because their brains are using it. They need the fuel during the day. And then at night, I will often say, let's go easy on the starchy foods, ramp up the amount of veggies that you're eating, and have a nice protein, a lean, healthy protein with that. But some people can't sleep if they cut carbs out at night.
Really? So, I thought carbs give you loads of energy, though.
some people can't sleep if they don't eat enough carbs at night. Like, they'll literally need that cup of milk or something to put them to sleep. Because remember, milk has carbohydrates.
Oh, I thought you were talking about eating a full pizza.
No.
I don't think you're talking about, like, I was like, eat a pizza before you go to sleep? That's going to...
No, I wouldn't recommend that you eat more than about your fist size of your starchy food and more than a palm of your protein.
Before you go to
obviously,
sleep.
Depending on what you're doing. And then you don't want to eat right before you go to bed. You want to actually have just a little bit of time to digest it.
Speaking of digesting, how much carbohydrates should you have in a day in an ideal world? I mean, I remember we spoke about proteins. I think it's 2 grams of protein per kilogram.
Mm-hmm.
And you multiply that out to figure out how much protein you should have in a day.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to carbs, what percentage of proteins, carbohydrates, and fats should be dedicated to carbs in the day? And how do we get better at figuring that out for ourselves?
Oh, without going to see a dietitian, basically, what we are aiming for is about, I think for women, it's 25 grams of fiber a day. With men, it's about 38 grams of fiber a day. You don't have to stress about counting it. I can tell you that you are most probably low. Most South Africans don't get enough fiber.
Really?
And we need to aim to eat more fiber. Then in terms of carbohydrates themselves, because remember, carbohydrates, you have ones that you digest, which is the ones that we call carbs normally, and then fiber is one that you don't digest. So that's the part that you need that you don't digest. And then the carbohydrates that we need, depending on your age and your activity level, I work on most people needing a minimum of 130 grams of carbohydrates a day. That is the amount that your brain uses in the day. So we want to keep your brain energized, and we want to make sure that your brain is getting enough carbohydrates. Then if you're running around like a maniac and you're playing several sports and you're gymming really hard, then you're going to need to fuel that. And that's when we start working with the post-exercise recovery of 3 to 6 grams per kilogram per day. But that kind of stuff is actually best managed if you are a really serious sports person doing more than 10 hours of exercise a week and you really want to fine-tune that exercise. I would go and chat to a dietitian.
In most instances, you should just go chat to a dietitian. These are general guidelines that we give. I mean, a carbohydrate, instantaneously, can you pick up the energy?
You will pick up the energy really quickly. So carbs are not digested in your stomach. They're actually absorbed in your small intestine. And the longer the molecule is, so the more complex it is and the more chains it has together, the longer it takes to break it down. If it's small little chains, just one or two little sugar molecules, that gets snipped up by our enzymes really quickly and gets absorbed really quickly. So you will, if you are literally eating a piece of fruit on its own with nothing else, you will start experiencing that increase in energy within about 20 up to say 40 minutes. But normally, like, within 20 minutes, you'll start to get a little bit of energy from that piece of fruit. The moment we start adding fat and protein to a carbohydrate, whatever source of carbohydrate it is, fat and protein both make our stomachs empty slower. So they slow down how quickly food moves through your digestive system, and they can actually slow how quickly you get the peak of the energy from the food. Now, that sounds like a bad thing, but it actually isn't, because when we eat food, we don't want to be eating every 20 minutes because we've used up all the energy every 20 minutes.
You want it to release slowly.
We want sustained energy, and that's why whenever we eat carbohydrates, we should always pair them with a protein or a fat if we want to be sustained for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Final thoughts on carbs before we wrap this up.
All right. So not all carbs are the same. And there's a lot of science behind them to say that you can't use them all as just one group. Use your common sense. I know moderation is not sexy, but it is the most sustainable way to eat in the long term.
That's the thing. You can cut it out, but how long is it going to last with you not having it part of your diet?
Yeah. At the end of the day, you want to eat the way you think you can eat for the rest of your life. And if that means pizza once a week, that's okay. Pizza every day? No.
Could be a problem. Damn it. There goes the past 2 weeks. All right. Natalie, Matt, thank you so much for stopping by. It's very easy to touch base with you 24/7.
Yes. I am on Twitter at NatMatt and also my blog, informedappetite.com.
Power. Also, once a month, on the last Monday of every month, the Informed Appetite. NatMatt, thank you for stopping by.
Thanks so much. Kelman on CliffCentral.com.